We are in Perek Ches Mishnah Zayin. Misha achal v'shachach v'lo beirach. A person ate a meal. Let's say he washed, ate bread, and he forgot to bench. So, Beishamai omrim, yachzor l'mkomali v'ivarach. Beishamai says the person has already left wherever he was eating. Beishamai says you have to return and only bench where you ate. Beishil omrim, yivarach b'malkom shenizkar. You know, you could bench wherever you remember. You went for a walk, you're somewhere else, you're in someone else's house. You can bench where you are, no need to return. The Gemara actually says that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are only debating when a person forgot, as the Mishnah says, Shochach. But this person is amazing. On purpose, he left. I know I ate. I know I should bench here, but I'm busy. I want to run to do something else. So such a person, the Gemara says, according to everybody, even according to Beis Hillel, has an obligation to return and bench where he is. There is a further debate. Let's say a person was mazed, and he says, I'm not going back, and he benches in the new place where he is, whether he's Yotze or not. So some Rishonim say he's not Yotze, because he was supposed to go back. Another Rishonim say, no, once he benched, the evidence will be acceptable. Now, one other important point, the Gemara actually says that the Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel had some type of a dialogue where Beis Shammai said, so Beis Hillel said to Beis Shammai, hold on one second, according to Beis Shammai, you tell me you have to go all the way back to where you ate your meal. Let's say a person ate a meal all the way on top of a skyscraper, all the way up on a Barosh Habir, on top of a tall building. And then he came all the way down and forgot to bench him. He tell me he's going to have to schlep all the way up to the top. So what did Beis Shammai say back to Beis Hillel? Beis Shammai says, and according to you, tell me something. If you were all the way top of the building, you went down and you realized you forgot your wallet upstairs, you're going to tell me you're not going to go all the way back up to the top to get your wallet? So why, if you, l'chvod atzmo hu oli, goes up for his own kavod, for his own sake, so you're going to tell me l'chvod shemayim lo kol shekin, certainly for Hashem, I should go back and return. There's a debate, actually, the Rishonim debate whether or not here we paskin like Beis Shammai. Some claim we actually would paskin like Beis Shammai in terms of returning. The accepted halacha is that that a person, if he's b'shogeg, technically he can bench where he is, but it's admirable, certainly it's commendable if a person would return to his original place to bench. If it's b'mezid, then even Beis Hillel agrees he has to return, but b'dievin, we said if he didn't return and he benched where he is, he's going to be Yotze. There's a further machlokas Rishonim, a three-way machlokas Rishonim, what this Mishnah is talking about. One opinion in Rishonim is that the Mishnah is speaking about bread. Only bread is there's this debate whether or not you have to go back to your original place. But any other food, there's no need. Other Rishonim claim that it applies to an al hamichya as well. Any mizonos food that requires an al hamichya, you have to return to the original place. And other Rishonim claim that it applies even to al haperos, to any main shalosh bracha, if I have shivas haminim and the like, I have to return to its original place. The poskim paskin, like general accepted opinion, is like the middle opinion. You have to return to the original place where you were in order to bench and in order to make an al hamichya. The Mishnah concludes that emasahu mevarech. Up until what point is he permitted to bench? Meaning, at what point is it too late to bench? It's, you know, 5 hours after a meal. You're going to tell me now I can still bench on the meal I had 5 hours earlier? Says the Mishnah, ad kedeshi is akel hamoson shebemeyav. Up until the point where the food has been digested already. The food is no longer, all right, the food is no longer in your system. It's already been digested. Now, how do I know that? So the Gemara discusses this as well. The Gemara assumes kol zman she'eino ra'ev. The way to assess whether or not it can still bench is to see, okay, well, do I still feel full from the previous meal? Actually, it's a similar halacha when it comes to ashayatzar. If a person forgot to make ashayatzar and he feels he has to go to the bathroom again, so it's too late to make the previous ashayatzar. But if it's still within the time, it's maybe an hour later, he doesn't have to go to the bathroom, so he can still say the ashayatzar on the last time. So here too, if a person still feels full from the meal, he's not hungry yet, he can still bench. But if it's beyond that time, it's past that time, so then he's forfeited the benching for that particular meal. Many of us may be familiar with this concept of 72 minutes, which is the amount of time it takes to walk 4 mil, which is approximately 4 kilometers, what we call a parsa. Okay, 72 minutes plays a role in halacha in many, many areas. But this is one of them. So the Mishnah Berurah explains where the 72 minutes comes from. The Gemara discusses it, but it's not with respect to eating a large meal. When it comes to a large meal, people can feel full for 2, 3, 4 hours sometimes, and certainly they would be able to bench within that time frame if they remember. The 72 minutes is where someone washed and ate, but is not yet full. And you know, people sit around the table, and sometimes they're schmoozing, and you're not necessarily full. You ate maybe one meal, one course. And then before you know it, you've been sitting there for over an hour. It's been more than 72 minutes. So there is where we say, if you ate bread, but it wasn't something that satisfied you, you didn't have to eat that much. So then we say you only have 4 mil, the amount of time it takes to walk 4 mil, which is 4 halachic miles, 72 minutes, then it's too late. And that's what we recommend. If a person is not completely full from a meal, but he's eaten a little bit, we have to be careful that within 72 minutes, he eats something else so that you don't forfeit potentially the Birkas HaMazon. Perek Ches, Mishnah Ches. What happens? Wine is brought after the meal. You want to have your wine to drink a little bit for dessert, but you realize you only have one cup of wine. And you want to use that cup of wine also. You want to be able to bench on this. There are different ways to understand this mystery. We're going to learn it the simple way. That Beishame Beisil will debate whether or not I need to use wine for Birkas HaMazon. So it says Beishame, no need to use wine for Birkas HaMazon. Beishamai Omrim, Mivarech al Hayayin, V'acharkach Mivarech al HaMazon. First, you can make the bracha on the wine if you want. You can drink the wine now for dessert, and then you can bench, and you can bench without a cup of wine. Uveisil al Omrim, Mivarech al HaMazon, V'acharkach Mivarech al Hayayin. No, Beisil says, no, you should bench, and only then drink the wine, because I want you to use the wine for benching. If you only have one cup of wine, then save it for Birkas HaMazon. Our practice is not necessarily to use wine for Birkas HaMazon. Maybe when we have a minyan, we use that, or there's a certain celebration, we use wine, or we have a zimun, at least we use wine. But Beis Hillel, technically speaking, the Beis Hillel of the halacha, you're supposed to wait to, supposed to save that cup of wine for Birkas HaMazon. So again, Beisil, Beishamai, Omim, Mevarech al Hayayin for dessert, V'achakach Mevarech al HaMazon, then you could bench, no need to use it for benching. Beisil, Omim, Mevarech al HaMazon, V'achakach Mevarech al Hayayin. First you bench, and then you make the Bracha al HaGafen, so that way the wine was used for benching. And then the Mishnah concludes, and so does the Perek. Onin Amen Achar Yisrael HaMevarech, you're permitted to answer, and supposed to answer, proper to answer, Amen, after Yisrael, a Jew who makes a Bracha. But ve'ein onin amen ach arakusi hamavarech ad sheyishma kol habracha. You can't answer an amen to a kusi until you hear the entire bracha. What's going on here in the Mishnah? So we may have remembered the kusim. We mentioned them in the past. According to one opinion, they only converted to Judaism, but when they were placed in Eretz Yisrael because of the lions that were attacking them. Not sure whether or not they really had a conversion status of Ger Tzedek, Ger Emes, or Ger Arroyos. So the Mishnah here is assuming that they converted and it was not necessarily, that it was not necessarily authentic. And therefore, if I hear I hear a kusi make a bracha, maybe I have to be concerned that the blessing he's making is to his God. So how do I know he's definitely making a bracha to the Ribono Shel Olam? Remember, the kusim in many areas of halacha, they practiced halacha. The kusi we mentioned in the beginning of the seventh parak could join in a zimun. So how do I know? So the Mishnah says like this. If a Jew is making a bracha, you don't need to hear the whole bracha, right? You don't even need to meet, according to one opinion, Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. If I just hear him say, you know, Ber Priya Gafen or whatever it is, I'm permitted to answer amen to that bracha because I know that the beginning of the bracha was a blessing to Hashem. I can say amen even if I don't hear the entire bracha. Happens very often. You don't hear a full bracha. If it's a Jew, you can answer amen. But a kusi, since we're concerned that maybe he is blessing his God with our nusach a little bit to some extent, so I need to hear the entire bracha. I have to hear bracha to Hashem, Elkeinu Melech Olam, etc. I have to hear the entire bracha. Other Rishonim claim that even when a Yisrael is making a bracha, I need to hear at least Hashem Elkeinu Melech Olam. But I can answer amen even if I don't hear the bracha to, you know, the first two words at the beginning of the bracha. It's a minority opinion, but this minority opinion needs to explain the kusi. So what do I need to hear from a kusi? So the answer is, a kusi, if I hear him say Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, isn't he already blessing Hashem? The answer is no. Maybe he's using, you know, Hashem or the way we pronounce it, Ado, etc., and that's his God. The only way I can be assured that the kusi is making a bracha to Hashem is if he uses our entire nusach from beginning to end. Baruch Ata Hashem, all the way to the end. So different ways to learn the Mishnah. Generally, the practice is when it comes to a Jew, all I need to hear is, you know, the end, the last few words. If I don't hear Hashem Elokeinu, not a problem. I can answer Amen. And of course, for a Kusi, although we don't, we're not sure if they exist, the Shomronim maybe are the remnants of the Kusim. I would have to hear the entire bracha. There is an interesting point. What if a non-Jew is making a bracha here? So actually, the Ramah Paskins, if I hear a non-Jew, a Gentile, making a blessing, I can say Amen as long as I hear the entire bracha.